Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah. Let us read together Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46, the text for the sermon is the beginning of the chapter, verses 1 to 4, but let's just read the whole chapter so that we have the whole context. Isaiah 46, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops, their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, I will carry, and I will save. To whom will you liken me and make me equal, and compare me that we may be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales, hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god, then they fall down and worship. They lift it to their shoulders, they carry it, they set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off. And my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, New Year's Eve is behind us. We have had opportunity to look back and evaluate the past year, and now it's time to look forward and look at the new year that has just started. If we could ask everyone here or at home who is listening, how you look forward to the new year, I'm sure we would get some different answers. Some of us, I'm sure, have great expectations. Perhaps there is a wedding day coming up, or perhaps expecting the arrival of a newborn, perhaps looking forward to finishing school or starting a new job. Others have different expectations. Maybe there are health issues that need to be addressed, a medical procedure coming up, or a mountain of work that needs to be done, or the fear of losing your job, financial problems, or a difficult relationship that needs to be maintained for better or worse. As congregation, we are all different, and we wonder how things will develop in the coming year. Will we come out of this COVID time relatively unscathed? Will we be able to get back to some kind of normality, shine the light of the gospel again in the area around us, in the community? Our text passage Isaiah 46 asks us to consider two things. That the Lord has carried us through the years in the past. And secondly, that He will continue to carry us in the new year as well. I think you have already noticed that the word carry is really the key word in our text passage in verses 1 to 4. In verses 1 and 2, we hear about idols that are being carried. Verse 1, these things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. And then in verse 3, we hear about the people of Israel who have been borne by the Lord, who have been carried by Him from the womb. And the Lord continues, He says, even till you're old, I will carry you. And the last line again, I will carry and save. So this idea of carry or being carried, that's really the key term in our text. So we have to focus on that. So that's why I have given my sermon this overall theme, to carry or to be carried. That's the question. It's the question for the new year. Are you going to carry or are you going to be carried? And we'll see two things according to our text. First, the burden of carrying idols. And secondly, the joy of being carried by the Lord. Now, in order to understand the message, we should first realize who are being addressed in this prophecy. Verse 3 gives us the answer right away. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel. So, it's the house of Jacob, it's the remnant of the house of Israel. The remnant. So this prophecy is addressed to people who have survived the destruction. They are only a remnant. They have survived the destruction of Jerusalem. And many of them are in exile in Babylon. You know the history. They are still alive. They are in Babylon in exile. But compared to what it was, it's just a remnant. In addition to this, the Lord also reminds the people in this chapter how it came to be that they are in this situation. It was the result of their disobedience. They have served idols instead of serving the Lord. Did you notice that when we read through the chapter in verse 8? It says, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. The Lord speaking to the remnant of His people, and He calls them, you transgressors. And then in verse 12, listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. So remember this, the Lord addresses His people. He loves them and He says, I carry you, I will continue to carry you. But at the same time, the Lord calls a thing by name. He says, you are transgressors and you are stubborn of heart. And yet, to these people, the Lord comes with a gospel message. And already, this in itself is already gospel, of course, even before we have heard anything else, that the Lord could speak to transgressors, to people who are stubborn of heart, and say, you, remnant of the house of Israel, I have always carried you, and I will continue to carry you. It's good for us, it's gospel for us, to acknowledge these things. Do you acknowledge that you are a transgressor? Do you acknowledge that you have been stubborn of heart, inclined to sin, and prone to do things that are not pleasing to the Lord? Our hope for the coming year cannot be founded upon our own faithfulness, our holiness, then it won't work. Our hope must be based on the promises of God given to transgressors who are still called His beloved people. So, the Lord knows His people He knows they are prone to wander, prone to follow the example of the surrounding nations and put their trust in idols. They've done that. And the Lord has argued his case, and he teaches his people how foolish it is to serve idols. He does it once more in the verses 1 and 2. And in order to do this, the Lord uses idols. He refers to a few idols. As you know, the people around Israel, they had many idols, and the Lord mentions two of them here. In verse 1, Bel and Nebo. They were the gods of Babylon, where the people were in exile. And again, the Babylonians had many idols, but these two, Bel and Nebo, they were the top gods, the top dogs, you could say, in the pantheon. Bel, the first one mentioned, also named Marduk, was the chief god, the god of wisdom. Nebo was believed to be his son, another god. And the Babylonians had really revered these two, especially Bel and Nebo. And they had huge statues of these gods in the city, and they built impressive temples for them. And sometimes there was a procession in the city, then they would pick up a statue and they would carry it through the city and bring it to the temple or whatever. And people would be lining the streets and revering these idols. Now, the people of God, the Israelites, who were in exile, would see this from time to time. And maybe their faith was shaken by it, because after all, what did they have? They didn't have a God that you can see in an idol. And was God even still with them? But now, listen to what the Lord says about these impressive gods of Babylon, Bel and Nebo. Verse 1, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but they themselves go into captivity. This is a prophecy about the gods of Babylon imploding when they see Cyrus coming. Cyrus, the king of Persia, he mentioned in chapter 45, the previous chapter. They are powerless to do anything against Cyrus, against the Persians. Bel and Nebo, they might seem so impressive, but when a powerful army comes from Persia, they are powerless. They cannot save their people from destruction. The Persians are going to come. They will take the idols of Babylon and load them onto carts or onto beasts of burden. And where they were supposed to save their people from the enemy, these idols, now they become a burden themselves to the animals that carry them. How can this be explained? The cult of Bel and Nebo, it looks so impressive. And how could it all unravel so dramatically? Well, we know the answer, don't we, brothers and sisters? It is because idols are nothing. Idols are the product of people. They are just pieces of wood, silver, or gold. They have no power. They cannot see, they cannot speak, they cannot hear, they cannot act. They are nothing. And such is the blindness and the foolishness of people on earth, as described by Isaiah, that they put their faith in idols which they have made themselves. You take a piece of wood, you carve it, you make something nice out of it, and now you say, "You are my God and you are going to save me." It's crazy if you think of it. But that is how people live in this world. People still do that today. When you visit a Hindu temple in Toronto, for example, there are many of them, you will still see the very same thing. You will see idols in those temples. I've been in some of them. You will see idols in there, and you will see people coming in, and they will bring their sacrifices, their milk, and pour it on the idol. And they will trust that the God that is represented by the idol will bless them. It is nonsense. It's just a piece of whatever, a piece of material. It cannot speak. It cannot even feel anything. It can't do anything. It's foolishness. And yet people trust it. For Western people, they have idols too. Not physical idols like a statue or something. Maybe more philosophical. Our ideology or political views. Communism used to be an idol. Communism is going to save us, to give us complete happiness. It didn't work. Nationalism has often been an idol in the history of mankind. Our nation is strong, and if we stand together as a nation, we will find perfect happiness. It doesn't work, but people still believe in it sometimes. Then in our society today, the idols seem to be equality, inclusiveness, human rights, and stuff like that. If we just all can agree on those things, then we will have the perfect society. And then there is the idol of focus, serve yourself, be free to do whatever you want to do, or the idol of affluence and prosperity, or beauty, or sexuality, or a successful career or status. People serve these idols, and at some point they discover that they cannot save them. If there is a crisis in the country or in your personal life, your Western ideology cannot save you. It can do nothing for you. The only thing idols can do is what? Is to collapse, to go down together with the people who serve them and become a burden to them. So we all need to hear again this morning that idols cannot save us, that idols are burdens. They take up all your energy and cause you to burn out. What a contrast it is then to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, who says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now that brings us to the heart of the message, because Jesus Christ, who spoke these beautiful words and this beautiful invitation, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of the same God who speaks in chapter 46 of Isaiah. And that brings us to the next part of the sermon, the next part of the text, verse 3 and 4. Beautiful words. "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb." We can just stop there for a minute. Because here the Lord looks back at what has happened in the recent past. Think yourself into the situation of these people. They are in exile. They have seen destruction of Jerusalem. They've gone through difficult things. It was a punishment for their disobedience. And yet the Lord says this: "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb." That must have been a startling claim to these people. As I said, they had experienced the downfall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple. They had been taken captive. They lost everything, their possessions, their land. They live as exiles in a foreign country. You would think that the Lord had rejected them. It's over. The Lord doesn't love us anymore. No longer his people. "No," says the Lord, "it was a punishment for sure. But even though I brought all these things upon you, I was still the one who carried you through, I have even carried you from before your birth, he says. What a claim that is. You have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. And I have always surrounded you with my fatherly care, even when I punished you. Now, as you know, this is an image that the Lord loves to use about himself and to describe his care for his people. Sometimes he tells his people, I have carried you on eagle's wings. A well-known saying, Exodus 19, I have carried you on eagle's wings. The Lord also sometimes says, I have carried you like a father carries his child. Beautiful example in Deuteronomy chapter 1, where Moses tells the people of Israel, in the wilderness you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Again, those 40 years in the wilderness, there was a punishment aspect to it. But the Lord says, Moses says that the Lord has carried them through those 40 years through the desert as a father carries his son. It's a moving image. We all know that image. You've seen that. How a father carries a toddler, his son or his daughter. It's a picture of intimate safety, of love, father, child. A child feels just loved and safe. And that is the way the Lord wants his people to think of how he has guided them those 40 years through the wilderness. And now, even when they are in exile, the Lord still wants them to think of him this way. The Lord your God has carried you as a man carries his son all the way, even till you came to this place here in Babylon. So you can imagine that this must have been a startling claim to those people, those Israelite people in Babylon, to think of themselves as being carried by the Lord even through those horrible times when Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and they were carried into captivity. I'm wondering if it might also be a startling claim for some of us, if you think of the past year. Maybe it was a difficult year. Maybe there was a serious health issue. Or maybe there was a breakdown of a relationship. Or struggling with loneliness or a sense of loss, a longing for love, maybe even a sense of punishment. For others, it could have been difficulties at work or in the church, or pressures that were hard to handle. Most of us have experienced some kind of brokenness and sadness, some more so than others, of course. And now this message, the Lord wants you and me to be aware, to realize, and to believe when he says, I have carried you. You have been born by me from before your birth, all the time till today. You may not have noticed, but really, I was carrying you at all times, just like a father carries his son. So you need to apply that to your personal life. Think of what has happened in previous years until today, and then realize that the Lord was carrying me all the time. What a wonderful thought. It also applies to your congregational life. The Lord has carried you as congregation through good times and difficult times, and he has provided help in times of need. Now, what about the burden of our sins? Our personal sins, our sins as congregations, our shortcomings, isn't that a heavy burden that we still had to carry? No. That burden was carried for us by the Son of God. The prophet Isaiah, a few chapters later, chapter 53, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he says he, the servant, but that's the Lord Jesus, he shall bear their iniquities. The Lord Jesus has carried the burden of our sins for us. We can leave it at the cross. And that's how Lord Jesus can say, I make your yoke easy and your burden light. So as we stand at the beginning of a new year, brothers and sisters, it is fitting to look back and realize that God has carried us through our years until the day of today. Here we stand at the beginning of a new year. He has carried us. He's carried us through all the way. And then we can also look forward. And that takes us to verse 4. How will the year 2021 be? How are we going to manage? Well, the Lord says, even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. I will carry, and I will save. You hear the emphasis in these lines. What is the one word that comes back in every line? It is the word I. Even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, I will bear, I will carry, I will save. The Lord is adamant, he is determined, brothers and sisters. He wants to know that he is going to do it. They may still be exiles in Babylon, but the Lord says, I am going to do this with you, for you. Do not be concerned. I am going to carry you, I will bear you, I will save you, and bring you back to the promised land. Now, if we think for a moment about the image again, it's quite remarkable. For we already saw that image of a father carrying his little son or daughter, a toddler. But what do we have here? Here the Lord says, even when you are old, when you have gray hairs, I will still carry you. So we have to think of the idea of an old man being carried by the Lord. A grown-up man. Isn't that a bit awkward? Is there any grown-up man here in the building or listening at home who wants to be carried? The natural response of any man is, I can do it myself. I do not need to be carried. I do not need a cane. I can walk. Don't have to carry me. Think of the song by Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. They say it's one of the most popular songs in North America. It's one of the songs that is most used at funerals. When people die, this is the message that they want to give to the people who come to their funeral. I did it my way. Yeah, many people want to be like Frank Sinatra. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and I did it my way. What do you want to be the story of your life in 2021? Do you want to stand tall and do it your way? Or do you submit yourself to the God who created the universe? What do you want to be the story of your life? Do you want to be like Frank Sinatra and say, I did it my way? Or do you want to be like Jacob, for example? Jacob, the father of Joseph and his brothers, who said, God has been my shepherd all the days of my life. Genesis 48. So there is a choice to be made. Either you do it your way or you do it the Lord's way. Either you do it in your own strength and with your own idols, or you entrust yourself to the mighty hand of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the question for the year 2021. Do you want to be carried by the Lord? Or do you want to do it yourself? To be carried by the Lord. It's such a wonderful and encouraging idea. It means to enjoy the freedom of the children of God. It means to have the protection and the safety of your Father in heaven and to receive His blessings. And yet, if we are honest, it is so difficult for us to humble ourselves and acknowledge that we need Him to carry us through. Actually, if we are honest, we are often too proud and too stubborn because we want to be independent. By nature, we rather do it ourselves. We make our own idols and carry them around. It takes a miracle for us people to let go of our idols and to be willing to depend on the Lord. By nature, we want to be free from Him and go our own way, and even if that causes us to be slaves of idols. How is it with you, the fathers in the congregation? Do you want the Lord to carry you through? Or do you rather trust your own strength? How is it with you, mothers in the congregation? Do you trust your own wisdom? Or do you ask the Lord to carry you through and give you wisdom? How is it with you, young people? Do you trust your own energy and intelligence? Or do you humble yourself before the Lord and ask Him to carry you? Someone might ask, well, how do I know whether I have this godly attitude of wanting to be carried by the Lord? I think I want to, but how do I know that I really want to be carried by the Lord? Well, I would say if you want to test yourself, take a look at your prayer life. Take a look at your prayer life. How is that? Because the person who thinks he can do it in his own strength is not going to ask the Lord to carry him through. But the person who wants to depend on the Lord is going to pray and petition the Lord. Think of Lord's Day 45. Why is prayer necessary? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Moreover, God will His grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. That's Lord's Day 45. And in the bulletin of today, I saw that next week, Sunday, you will have a sermon on Lord's Day 45, so I won't say anything more about it. But just remember this. A person who desires to be carried by the Lord is a person who prays to the Lord. One last thing, and that is about that last line of our text, where the Lord says, I will carry and I will save. Could also be translated as, I will carry and I will deliver you. It's in the King James, the New King James. And the word, the original word that is translated with I will save or I will deliver you, has the meaning of being saved from some great danger. So, when the Lord says this, I will carry and I will deliver you, the implication is that there is going to be danger. There are going to be difficult times waiting for you in Babylon. But I will be there. I will carry and I will deliver you. Well, the same applies to us, brothers and sisters, today. The Lord has never promised us an easy ride. Rather, the Lord has told us that there will be trials and afflictions. So we should expect them also in the new year. The Apostle Paul, in Acts 14, says that we must enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. Let's take that as a rule. We have to expect that. We must enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. There is no other way. But then we have this promise that the Lord says, I will carry and I will save, I will deliver you. He will carry us through. Jesus Christ has promised that he is walking among the lampstands, the churches, and the Holy Spirit has been given as our comforter. So, there is a choice to be made, as I said before. Either you carry or you are carried. That's the question. The message of our text is that those who refuse to be carried by the Lord, they will have to carry their own burdens and their own idols, and they will get tired and they will get nowhere. And we see that happening all around us in the world. But as for those who trust in the Lord, they sing, please, Lord, carry me. I want to be carried by you. They sing, guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. So then, that's it. It's carry or be carried. That's the choice. Sounds a bit strange perhaps, but that is the choice everybody has to make. And it's a choice that has decisive consequences for now and forever.